Hey, fellow youths, I'm Audrey, here as always with Ashley.
Hey!
And Nicole.
Hey.
So this week on Fellow Youths, we are talking about the confusingly named network TV experience, You. That's the full title, You. So we're going to avoid talking about the title to avoid confusion.
Mm-hmm.
It was on?
It was on Lifetime.
Lifetime.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, which trashy network was it on?
Who knows? Cable, right?
Yeah, cable. And now it's on Netflix, and Netflix is going to get the second season.
Yeah.
And we're only obviously talking about the first season because season two is non-existent yet.
Only
or
in book
they're
form.
Filming it. Really?
Yeah, it's actually based on the second book. The first one's based on a book, and then
the
second
one's...
Yeah,
I didn't even realize until I was watching it for the first time that it was based on a book.
Yeah.
I've never even heard of it before.
Oh, no.
I didn't realize there was a second book till Ashley told me there was this second
book.
Yeah,
what's the series title? Is it just
the
You?
Book
or?
The first book is called You, and then the second book is called Hidden Bodies.
Okay.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Huh. Accurate.
Yeah. All right, so season one... season one, or we're talking about the TV show, is about Joe Goldberg, who's just a normal guy.
I added those air quotes.
Thank you. Managing a bookstore in New York City when the girl of his dreams walks into a store. After some light banter, Joe learns this woman's name is Guinevere Beck and begins stalking her.
Beck for short. She likes to be called
Beck.
I didn't realize her name was Guinevere till I had to look it up
10 years later. Everyone is obsessed with Beck in this TV show.
And by the end of this podcast, you'll be asking why.
Why? he finds Beck on social media and learns where she lives, who her friends are, and that she's an aspiring writer. Joe carefully crafts a series of coincidental run-ins, and eventually they start dating. Joe and Beck go through some relationship turbulence, including a short-lived breakup, but Beck eventually decides that Joe is a positive force in her life, and their relationship moves to the next level when they say, I love you.
Girl, you messed up.
So there's a lot to unpack.
There's so beautiful, much to unpack.
I don't know, what was it, 10 hours of television?
It was 10 episodes,
10
episodes.
10 hours of weird stuff to go into.
Mm-hmm.
And like the thing that really interests me about this show is I think it like unpacks a lot of like weird rom-com behavior that is often romanticized.
Mm-hmm.
And then like it embodies it in Joe and you're like, oh no.
Well, and that's the thing too, that he references rom-coms.
Yeah.
He like goes by the book and he thinks that it's supposed to work out.
They
mentioned one of Beck's favorite movies, like whenever he asked her what her favorite movie was, I think she said it was like When Harry Met Sally or something like that. And he like he's always taking weird ideas from the things she says and like turning them into his own ideas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I can't remember exactly what he said, but it's like the same as when she came in and gave her credit card and he was like, she wants me to know her name.
Yeah, because she could have paid with cash, but she didn't.
Yeah, just drawing his own conclusions.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really, like, the show really, mean, like, I thought that was, it just does such a good job of, like, underlying how if you take those behaviors and put them in real life and put them in one human, it's creepy.
Yeah.
Like, that thing in Twilight where, like, Edward, like, goes into Bella's room at night and watches her sleep. And everyone
don't
was
even
like,
get me started.
Yeah.
Oh, my
And
gosh.
Everyone was like, the romance. And, like,
Ashley?
Every adult was like, no.
16-year-old Ashley in the teen club.
And 16-year-old Nicole, we had fights about this.
Like, I was the person that was like, does anyone, like, realize how uncomfortable and unhealthy it is that, like, the fact that she wants to go to Jacob's place, so he takes out the parts in her car so she can't leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a teenager, I was
red flag.
So great. I think Ashley definitely had way more common sense than me.
Yeah.
When we were teenagers. I was like, as long as he likes her.
Well, I think it's, like, a really common thing that, like, if you watch a lot of rom-coms or, like, read a lot of that kind of stuff, it does just seem natural that, like, this guy is supposed to take care of you and, like, go the extra mile, even if the extra mile is, like, stealing your old phone and, like, spying on every single conversation you have with your friends.
Yeah, that was creepy. And Beck, was it the phone that she dropped in the subway that he stole? Yeah. And that's another good rom-com moment, because technically that was, like, it wasn't very cute, but it was, like, a meet-cute where he, like, he artificially created this moment for them to not.
Yeah, he was following her, and she was super drunk and like fell into the subway, which is like every person who lives with a subway system's nightmare.
She's like the dumbest. She was like right up on the edge.
I don't know how she fell in.
She looked down, and honestly, as a person who is bad at drinks, I can relate to this. She looked down and then she fell down. That happened.
So just much top heavy from all the alcohol.
As soon as you change your perspective, you're like, oh, I'm on the ground now.
Fun fact, according to IMDb, the characters, Joe and Beck, they had to do like training for the subway to do the filming for that.
So they didn't so hit they the can, third rail.
Yeah, so they technically for a year can like go down into the subway because they have the permits.
That's awesome. Great. That's, I mean, that is a surprise perk.
Yeah.
But she falls down and he like grabs her out right before the train comes and kills her.
And that would have been a fine episode.
Which was also one of the first moments where I was like, oh, girl, you're a moron, because he's like, grab my hand, please grab my hand. And she's like, hold on, I have to grab my phone.
Oh, yes.
And you're like, what?
I remember watching that, and like, the train's coming, there's a homeless man in the corner screaming, oh, pick it up, pick it up, pick it up, which I don't think he was talking about the phone. I think he was just like, get off the tracks.
Yeah, get,
And I will credit it to her being very wasted, that she was like, she seemed very confused.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, Joe paused for a moment to yell at the homeless guy to be quiet. I was like, that's not your priority right now. First of all, he's never going to stop yelling. This is his whole full-time job.
So that was their, like, meet cute. Yep. Or, like, that was the second time.
Yeah.
So
you can kind of think of it like Joe's going through, like, a playbook. He's like, okay, what do rom-coms do?
Yeah.
But it's like, this is New York. What are the chances of meeting someone?
Yeah, the same time.
In the same neighborhood.
Well, he does a really good job of, like, engineering the relationship. So he, like, follows her, but then, like, also, like, creates all these, quote-unquote coincidental meetings. Like, because they're totally on purpose from his end, except for the train thing. Like, he literally hesitates when she falls down because he's like, fuck, I have to go save her.
I have to go save her, but she'll know I was following her.
Yeah.
There's a lot of moments where Beck, at least they do a good job of showing Beck being confused. Like, she's like, why are you here? But then he always finds a way to talk his way out of it. Like, he's like, I'm here for a perfectly normal reason. And then Beck buys it.
Yeah.
Except that one time that he followed her to, like, another city far away.
Oh, yeah.
There was no way
Dickinson
he could have been.
But I think they were, like, just had an argument at that time. So he was like, oh, I found you by, like, looking at your screenshot of, I mean, your Instagram and seeing, like, the shop behind you.
So he talks his way out of it.
Yeah. There was one moment where he, like, super slips up when they're shopping for a new bed, and she's like, should I get a king or a queen? And he was like, you don't have room for a king. And she was like, how do you know?
In this economy?
In New York?
Yeah, in New York was the answer.
Yeah.
And she was like, ha, 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 of course.
Yeah, which, like, it's like fair, but as like the viewer who knows more, you're like, no, girl, don't do it.
As this is what my favorite part about. So like, there's the rom-com side of it, and then there's also the like Predator show side of it, and that's my favorite part of Predator shows, where I'm like, red flag, red flag, and I'm like waving my arms, please see the red flag, and they never do.
No, they never do.
Yeah, Nicole and I have a penchant for watching like Lifetime and Investigative Discovery shows about like this exact like.
Show stalked somebody's watching. We watched all that show.
Oh my gosh. So good. Obsession. Like,
so many great bad reenactments.
I will say that's another thing that the show does really well is the, like, dramatic irony where, like, you know because you're with Joe, like, information that Beck doesn't know.
Yeah.
Or just, like, when Joe is that moment when Joe is spying on Peach, spying on Beck in the bathtub,
and he's like,
he's like, Beck, how can you not see Peach is like totally creepy and totally invading your privacy?
We have to get this toxic obsessive personality out of your life. Also, so that's not the first time that he's been the dramatic irony of the hypocrisy has been real, because with Benji, there's a part, I was rewatching it, and there's an episode where he just has locked him in the basement. Benji, Beck's ex-boyfriend, he's locked in the basement, and he's like, Benji's telling him all that stuff about how she's like a gold digger and all that, and Joe is like, you just put her in this role and then you trap her there, and like she has to live with like the thing you've decided she is. And I'm like, do you not see that that's exactly what you're doing? As soon as he saw her, he decided who she was and how she was, and that she wanted attention, but not too much attention. He was making up a whole fantasy world in his head that he's no rationale for.
Yeah.
And he's trapping her, literally by the end, trapping her in it.
Yeah. Well, and you see it through the show, too, that, like, he thinks that like, the reality of Beck and, like, the Beck in his brain don't always match up. And you see it in the show sometimes, like, mm-hmm. when she's, like, having a hard time writing. Yeah. And it's like, you're literally in New York going to an MFA program to write. Like, mm-hmm. you need to write. But, like, all the procrastinating she does is, like...
And she loses her job at the yoga yeah. studio. Yeah. And, yeah, she... It's, yeah, it's she very so interesting how he puts her on, like, a pedestal. Mm-hmm. And she is very flawed.
Flawed, yeah. Well, like, the weird... Her weird professor that was, like, inappropriately hit on her yeah. and, like, basically offered her, like, he, like, basically was, like, sex with me and I won't, like...
Or you'll lose, like, your housing, your, yeah. your student teacher position, yeah.
Yep, and she blackmails him into, like, getting her transferred, but then doesn't actually do any official action around, like, mm-hmm. getting him fired. Because yeah. she, like, did the work of finding 8 other people mm-hmm. that yeah. had the same complaints.
Yeah, and she did the work of doing the, like, ultimatum to him, but I don't know that... Like
well,
anything.
He transferred. He like switched yeah. her, and she was
yeah,
like, "I'm good."
Yeah, that's how she met Blythe. Yeah, okay. yeah,
yeah. And like once she got switched to the new professor, she was like, "Cool, that's that."
Yeah, every mm-hmm. character I would like, say, like I specifically the men in the show are 100%. Like, there's not a single good one except for Ethan.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, but like everyone's pretty flawed in it. No yeah. one. There's definitely no person that you look at and you're like, that person is perfectly normal or like doing mm-hmm. it exactly right, mm-hmm. which is maybe reality.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, and surprise John Stamos.
Yes. Uncle Jesse, when I was talking to a friend, she specifically was like, yeah, Uncle Jesse's in it. And I was like, whose uncle? Is that Beck's uncle? And she's like, no, from Full House, Uncle Jesse.
Like, yeah, I was like, I don't know who that man is.
John Stamos, yeah.
Is that her dad?
Dr. Nikki, the therapist that she yeah. turns oh. out to secretly be having sex with.
Yeah. Because he was like, are you sleeping with your therapist? And she like did the mind games of like, yeah. if you don't like, you know, if you check
my phone.
All the trust is gone, and what is our relationship yeah. without trust?
And then he's like, which, like, everybody paused to lol at that for a second. Yeah. But then he, like, obviously does check her phone, and then he's like, oh, yeah, you fucking Dr. Nikki, you just are.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think he checks Dr. Nikki's phone. Yeah, he checks okay. Dr. Nikki's phone. He, like, right. pretends to be a robber and mm-hmm. tries to, like, pretends to mug him and then takes his phone, searches through his phone, and sees the text.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you were cheating on your therapist. Yep. Even though, remember, he does a complete 180 and, like, as soon as she says that he loves her, she loves him. She was like, he was screaming about like, oh my God, you fucked your therapist and I can't believe it. But then mm-hmm. she was like, I love you and you actually were the one taking care of me. And he was like,
that's
cool.
It.
Yeah.
He has a weird like belief in love mm-hmm. that like it will fix everything. Like when he has her in the box in the basement, yeah. it's like he clearly wants her to just be like, I love you. Thank you so much for everything you've done.
Exactly.
Like he thinks that like if someone loves him enough, like it will erase or, like, excuse the bad behavior.
It's and like a weird Beauty and the Beast situation.
Yeah, yeah. The therapist, Nikki, was, like, what sent them down a rabbit hole in this particular, like, it's the de-evolution at the end where everything's falling apart mm-hmm. because of the therapist. And because at first you think he's just a little crazy mm-hmm. and that he's so obsessed with her that he's like, you're sleeping with your therapist, you're sleeping with your therapist, and he won't take no for an answer. Mm-hmm. And it's not until you like find out she is that you're like, oh, look at that. He had a thing to be yeah. crazy about. But that's when they start to show you the flashbacks to Candace yeah. and how that ended. And yeah. I can't remember who Candace was supposedly cheating with.
Oh, it was her music producer. But specifically her music producer yeah. because she was a musician. She was in a band. Mm-hmm. And she kept saying that she was texting her brother, mm-hmm. and turns out, she was getting with her producer.
Desperate to find out what he did to her that was so bad that yeah. she, like, disappeared for mm-hmm. so long. Because you think for the whole season that he killed her.
I also wonder what he did to her brother, because her brother also died in a mental institution.
Yeah.
He said that he was constantly paranoid and everything. So it's one of those things with him that you don't know what the truth is mm-hmm. and, like, what's embellished. Because you think that by all this time, we didn't talk about him, but it seems like he was an orphan and he was being taken care of by Mr. Mooney, the owner of the bookstore. And you think that by then he killed him because he's taking mm-hmm. over the bookstore, and you find out later that he was like abused constantly by him. So it's like, oh, he totally killed him, just used like all of his stuff. But turns out he's at his house and yep. he has dementia and he's being taken care mm-hmm. of. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so
I think that makes me think of is that like I think because we hear a lot of his inner monologue, we like think that like everything we hear from him is the truth. But when he's lying to other characters and we don't hear the monologue, like you realize it's like that's it when you realize. Well, and that's when you realize like what a manipulative person he is and what a good liar he is, because it's hard to see through the lies.
I was very curious what your guys' thoughts were on that, because mostly when I watch shows that are like predator shows or even rom-coms, they're from the female's perspective.
Yes.
But this show was very different because it was specifically from the predator's perspective. And that in itself was a mind game, because you watch him, do other things that aren't so bad. Like he's got an upstairs neighbor named Paco. Who is a pretty nice little boy who's just abused by his stepdad, is a drunk and a parole officer, which is weird. And like, what's the other nice thing? Like, he's nice to books. That's always. I'm like, look how nice he is to the books. but then, especially at the end, like, I think most of you guys were like, he's a creep the whole time. But I was like, he seems like, I knew he was a creep, but I didn't feel the deep creepness until she opened that fucking box from the ceiling. And then I was like, yeah, he's real sick.
Really?
He's very
sick. I'm kind of surprised, because when, like, what really got me, I think maybe one of the beginning factors was, like, when he first, like, found her and everything, and following her home. And then he's watching her get with this guy, like a one night stand, and they're having sex, and he's across the, the street masturbating.
In the bushes. There were many things that I was like, he's a weirdo. But that was, I was like, oh, there's like, he's very sick. Like, to keep, the tampon gets me every time. To keep somebody's, that's too, I think I can't.
When you're watching from his perspective, it's easy to get complacent, especially in like, the first episode is shocking, and then, like, two through four or five-ish.
You get used to him.
You're used to him, and it's not that bad.
And he's not the worst creep in the movie, oddly enough.
Yeah, and, like, Benji is, like, kind of the worst. You're like, like, it's not great, but okay.
I kind of felt bad for Peach. I don't know why. I really liked Peach.
I did, too.
I think I have somewhere.
They did her wrong.
I wish she'd kept going, because I have written down she's such a satisfying villain. You love to hate her.
Yeah, she is.
Great. She's got a great name.
I don't know. Part of me was like, girl, take it. Like, you could just be like her sugar baby.
I was shocked. I was shocked. I don't know if she was like too scared to, she'd been friends with her so long, she was too scared to like actually say the thing and have it go badly. That she's just, but Peach clearly loves Beck like in a slightly creepy way. She's also a little creepy.
Yeah, it's in a creepy way.
It's very interesting, the fact that she was a Salinger. She was related to J.D. Salinger.
I didn't know if that was intentional. That
she was, they talk about him.
She just didn't like to talk about it. But she was, related to the Salingers. And her parents, I guess, were, like, super old school and, like, didn't approve of her being gay, so she has to
I feel like it was like a weird combo of like being super in the closet because she was afraid of her family's reaction and then also being afraid of it going like being so in love with Beck that if it went like she'd rather just like be in the closet and be her like weird shadow like
her friend who also has a PI like take pictures of her from a distance
and also takes pictures of her while she's sleeping
and all the pictures. So there were the pictures of that Joe found later on that like Peach was keeping, and then again weird at a party looking at all the pictures, takes a second to jack off and then like take all the pictures.
Yeah, that's right. He used his sock. I forgot about that.
No, it wasn't.
Is that a different one?
He was at the thing, because I remember I was watching it with Dave, and I was just like, oh, that's disgusting. But, like, there was, like, a handkerchief, like, I think her handkerchief, and he just, like, used it and then put it back. And I was just like,
oh, no.
Just leaving DNA all over the place, and I thought that would be his downfall.
So I looked it up. And like when he's creeping around Peach's summer home or whatever. So Peach and Beck go to the summer home. But at one point, he's like creeping around the house, watching everybody.
He has like a crazy concussion.
He had gotten the shit beat out of him by parole dad, and then got in a car accident.
He kept getting
and talked his way out of it, like from the cop.
We are going to talk about how he wouldn't have gotten away with nearly as much if he were a black man. We have to talk about it. He'd have been caught episode one.
But he's like watching them, and he's like, I can't go. He like can't get to a bathroom, so he just takes a jar down and pees in it. And I was like, there. It is.
And then someone's he puts gonna,
yeah. And he's like, I'll swing back, circle back for this. And I was like, no, you won't. You're not ever coming back for that jar of pee.
No.
But I looked it up. Turns out urine does not contain DNA, but it can contain epithelial cells, which can contain DNA, but
it's like
that
dead
usually
skin cells or something,
I think,
right?
So, but that's only if you're like, it only usually happens if you're like ill.
Okay.
So like the chances of him having DNA in that,
but even like him
low.
Touching the glass,
yeah,
like
the fingerprints. Yeah. The fingerprints on that glass and on the rock that he used to hit Peach over the head mm-hmm. when he mugged her in the park and then dropped mm-hmm. next to her prone body and then ran away from.
Also, why didn't she have any cuts or bruises or like any
TV.
Bandages after she got hit
on
in the
head? Yeah. I was like, is no one checking on the wound?
Nope.
No, internal head injuries are not a thing at all.
Nope.
That's when, so you think that Joe is smart kind of at first. Maybe that's another trick of
that,
being
yeah.
in his head because
yeah.
he thinks so carefully about things.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this great scene where he's luring Benji in to murder him, where he thinks, telling him there's a party that doesn't actually exist.
Yeah.
And it's cut with the scene of him helping, teaching Paco how to bind a book.
Yes.
So he's binding the book and he's like, you got to bind it nice and tight so it doesn't go anywhere. And then you have to like hit it with just the right amount of force. And it's sort of, it's clearly a metaphor for Benji too.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get further in and like, especially with Benji, you're like, he doesn't really have a plan. He's not actually that smart.
Mm-mm.
He doesn't really know what he's doing. He just does stuff and then reacts to it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's through sheer dumb luck,
yeah.
he gets away with a
I
lot
mean,
of
I
it.
Think a lot of it is white privilege. Like mm-hmm. all the times that he talks to police officers and like talks his
mm-hmm.
way out of it. I'm just like,
that is assuming that the police will believe you.
Yeah.
And that's a privilege in itself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like, and I think that's why he's able to talk his way out of it, because he's coming from a place of like, I'm not, like, I'm a white man. I'm not yeah. doing anything wrong.
Like a harmless white bookstore.
I love how the cops, like, they were, like, kind of, the cop was kind of, like, wary about the fact that he wasn't who he said he was after the car accident. He,
mm-hmm.
like, claimed to be this, like, mm-hmm. rich guy. And then so he called the number because they said that it was under someone else's name, Mr. Mooney.
Mr. Mooney, yeah.
And then so they call, and it's him, Joe, and they're like, we were just wondering if you knew a so-and-so. And he's like, oh, yes, I know so-and-so.
Yeah.
And then he was like, okay, case closed.
Yes. That's all the detective work I need. Don't need to see this voice in person.
No,
nothing.
Well,
yeah.
The other thing, too, was like, I feel like the police only went that far because he was, like, dicking around in rich people neighborhood.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And his solution to Benji only came, like, way later because
mm-hmm.
Benji was living in his basement for so long just because he didn't know.
His
little basement box. That's right. That it's supposedly for fixing books, but it's totally a murder
totally
dungeon.
Totally a murder
It is. And Benji was in there for so long because he had done the thing. He'd hit him over the head with a hammer. Benji hadn't died. And he was like, I don't really know what to do with him once he dies anyway.
Yeah.
And, like, that's always the thing, isn't it? Killing someone is easy. Getting
yeah.
rid of a body is very,
very hard.
Exactly.
So he, like, eventually thought of the peanut oil thing where he, like, killed him with
yeah.
an allergic reaction, which is a pretty smart way to kill someone if you know their allergies. Like,
yeah.
smarter than bashing Peach over the head with a rock without
yeah.
gloves on.
Yes.
But then he gets rid of the body in the worst way possible, where you can't, if someone finds it, they can't be like, oh, this was an accident.
Yeah.
It's clear that someone, like, fucked up the body.
And then he goes to a park and tries to burn it, and then these people come up.
Yeah. That's another great moment of him getting away with it, where they're like, big bonfire you got there, and they're clearly suspicious. And then he's
yeah.
like, yeah, yeah,
you
want to join
home?
Me?
I know.
And that bluff saved him.
I know. I was at home being like, no!
That was a good moment where the girl was like, yeah, but we can't. And I was like, phew. Like, even as a person who's watching thinking he should be caught, I still
yeah.
felt, because it's from his perspective, I felt that moment of like, phew, we got away with it.
I was just like, please, someone get this man.
Yeah.
Somebody stop this man. It's only episode 4, but maybe you'll do it.
Yeah. Well, the other, yeah, because by the end of the show, we've got like, there's like 4 dead bodies. He kills like 4 people.
Peach,
Benji.
Well, they talked about his previous murders. He killed that producer.
The producer.
He pushed him off the bridge.
Okay. Yeah, they showed that. The building.
You think he killed Candace, but it's revealed
yeah.
again that he didn't.
And then Beck. So we're 4.
Oh, yeah. And
oh,
then
yeah.
right at the end. That's right. It's a cutscene kind of situation.
And the stepdad.
Oh, yeah,
the stepdad.
He killed him.
Yeah.
When was that?
That was, like, near the end,
near the
remember?
End.
Because that's the whole reason why Paco, who
oh
witnessed,
yeah.
Beck begging for her life to open the door that she was locked behind. She
yeah.
finally subdued Joe by hitting
mm-hmm.
him over the head. Always double
stab.
We just gotta talk about how stupid she was with she. You just pretend for a little longer. Pretend
that was
till
the
you're
most
around people.
Frustrating.
Yeah.
She gets out. out, and she, like, starts screaming at him, "You're garbage! I hate you! I was lying the whole time!" And then she goes up the stairs, and there's another locked door.
Yeah.
So I was like, honey, you should just pretend, and then he'd have taken you upstairs, and you could have just sprinted into the middle of the street.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or even just, like, to Ethan.
Yeah.
Like,
anyone.
Any you know other human
you
being.
Know who would have been good to her?
Ethan.
The only good man in this show.
That's true.
And Paco is, unfortunately, like, it's a cool thing that they did, but he's definitely, like, the origin story of continuing the cycle of violence.
It's the cycle of violence. And, yeah, it's very, I did love, like, all the, like, incel, like, stuff about it.
Because you see Joe with Paco, and at first you're like, oh, at least there's, like, this nice thing about him. Yeah. And then the more you learn about the situation and the more you watch the advice he gives him and the more you're like, that's not correct advice.
Grooming him a little bit. And I realize it later on when I go back, I went back to watch it again. And after knowing where he keeps his secret box, there's a scene where he's explaining, where he gives Paco that book and he's explaining because his stepdad doesn't want him to read. Because he's the classic stepdad, I guess, who's terrible.
Like, for you some think reason, you're better than me?
That's right. Yes. I feel like he thinks he's smarter than me. But he's like telling him where to hide his books. And he's like, yeah, so, you know, there's ceiling tiles above the toilet. They're in the same apartment building. You just push it aside and hide the book in there, and that's where your secret place will be. And Paco's like, yeah, like a secret hiding place. And I was like, they're the same. They're becoming the same.
Well, because Paco's the one that tells Beck where the ceiling tiles are, because he's like, I was hiding it in the ceiling, and she's like, that's a silly place to hide it. And he's like, Joe told me about it. See you later.
And then Beck's like, I think she didn't need to, she didn't go, did she go to specifically to search, or was she just using the bathroom and noticed it was a side, right?
I think she was using the bathroom, and then, like, she, like, looked at the ceiling, and like, you could see her be like, oh, Paco, and then, like, stood up and was like, what's Joe hiding up here? Oh, God, a horror.
Trucks, teeth, and tampons.
Like, But, the moment where Beck is at the door screaming for her life, and Paco is the person that's there.
Yeah.
And she's like, he's killed people, and Paco, like, knowing that Joe, the only thing he knows is that Joe killed his stepfather to protect him, is like, sorry, lady, and, like, walks away. Yeah.
You can see he's ready. He runs up to help her, and then she says, Joe, and he stops.
Yes.
And that's when he's like, oh, if it's Joe's, against Joe, if Joe thinks you should be down
and
here.
And then she says,
but then she says he's killed people, and then it's, like, sealed, like done.
I understand as a child, not fully, like, you're not going to believe a person I don't know of a person that who's been very kind to me, but still, this person is locked down here.
Yeah.
Well, she's clearly desperate for help.
The way
call
that
someone.
I read it was that, like, when she said, like, he has killed people, the reason he didn't help her was because the only person he knows that Joe has killed is his stepfather.
Yeah, I went on Reddit. Okay. I went on Reddit and looked at the discussions, and lots of people did think that was the reason he was afraid of
helping.
Joe helping because Joe killed his stepfather and thinking that, you know,
that's what she was talking about.
Because I didn't remember the part where he'd killed the stepfather, I assumed that he just didn't believe her. And like,
I think he believed her, but was like,
but thought she was talking about the stepdad.
But also, I think even like if
but
it wasn't,
part of it
I think it is part of it, because I think it's just like a bros before hoes mentality.
I mean,
getting
Joe
right
was,
to
like,
the heart of it.
The one stable thing in his life, because his mom was also an addict, and like his stepdad is abusive. So like, Joe is the only person that's like there for him constantly.
Yeah.
And if you're a kid, you don't have the perspective,
like,
to
that's
be like
your father figure for the past like few years, and
who like protected you.
Yes.
Killed the scary guy.
Yeah, fed
that,
him.
Like,
took
specifically,
care of him.
He killed him because like Paco like attacked him or
he hit him with a bat.
And it barely affected the guy.
Yeah, and then like there was not a lot of choice because you've already seen the stepdad like beat the shit out of Joe.
Yes.
Like, violently.
So you know what's coming.
Yeah, so you're like, one of the, like, you know it's going to be some sort of, like,
and
fight.
And the funniest thing about it, the stepdad hated Joe and was like, something's wrong with you. And I'm like, wow, that's really rich. Like,
it's so upsetting that the only guy who believed it was this asshole.
Yeah.
And so no one could believe it.
Yeah.
I have to say, I deeply enjoyed that episode where Joe got the shit kicked out of him.
Yeah.
It was good because first he gets the shit kicked out of him, then he crashes his car and looks even more like he's gotten the shit kicked out of him.
Then he has like double concussions.
And then I still love that scene because it was just a very well done scene where he just wakes up on the bathroom floor of Peaches with a needle in the middle of his like giant swelling, and you can deduce based on the way he sits up and where he is that you're like, oh, he tried to sew himself up like in the movies and he just passed out
and didn't even do it close to right, just poked himself in the head.
So that was one where I was like, this feels good, this feels satisfying. Yeah. But I was very disappointed that Peach died that episode.
Yeah. Also, he had like crazy concussions that he was having, like visions and stuff. I'm like, how did he get out of there?
Yeah. Like he should have been seizing.
Like, there's probably blood. Like, oh my gosh, so much DNA.
He's very bad at what he does. He's bad. Yeah. Like, social media made it easier for him. Mm-hmm. I feel like in the olden days of stalking, he would never have survived.
Yeah. Well, he would have used the phone book to look up her address. So
I guess he would have followed her around, but he wouldn't have had so much information
about
her.
Yeah, like and being able to use her cloud and everything.
She was specifically a person, and they made it clear, who lived her life online, too. Yeah. She had all the different social media accounts, and she specifically kept them updated with all her information because she had Annika, her friend, who's a social media influencer, which after watching certain documentaries is so funny.
Yeah.
And her friend Lynn, who is very, very stupid, but also proves to be oddly wise. There's a part where she's sitting with all her friends talking about that creepy professor who's, like, hitting on her. And Peach is obviously like, that guy's terrible and gross, disgusting. Yeah. He can't ever touch you. And he's, you know, secretly in love with her. And Annika is like, I had sex with my bio professor. I got an A. It's like, just take one for like something weird. Like take one for the team or suck it up and do it.
Yeah.
And then Lynn's like, it sounds like this monster needs to be reported. And I was like, huh.
Yeah.
The only smart thing Lynn has
voice
said.
Of reason. Yeah.
The only time. And then every other time Lynn kind of sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Except for the time where she, she was kind of terrible. All around terrible.
Yeah.
They were all basic. Like, Beck is basic. Her friends were basic except for Peach, who was weirdly, like, complex and interesting. And
Blythe. I liked Blythe.
Blythe is a beautiful specimen of womanhood.
Oh, and my God. Loved the, like, sexy talk between her and Ethan at some party.
They're so weird. I liked that they were making, I liked that you could tell the people who wrote the show understood who the characters were and weren't confused. Like, they didn't think Beck was interesting. Because there's a part where she meets Blythe and she's like, I'm from Nantucket. You know, like, I can't remember where Nantucket is, Massachusetts or something. And she's like, never left the country or something like that. And Blythe is like, oh, yeah, I'm super worldly. I've gone everywhere. And then she answers the phone and, like, got, like, German or something. Yeah. And she's like, oh, it's just like, my grandparents.
Basically, like, I feel like she came out of the show Girls.
Yeah. That's right.
Yes.
I feel like she'd be right at home in the show Girls.
Yes.
And just the thing she says where she, like, just the way that she phrases things was so funny.
She's fantastic.
I can't remember a specific
I have
one.
Like body it was like facial like a facial problem where I can't like
it was like facial oh god it was like a word you wouldn't apply to that but it was like facial diarrhea or something where she's just like I can't hide what I'm thinking. Like you could tell that she was implying that her writing was going to be very bad and she would be able to.
She's like, just so you know.
Oh yeah, facial autism or something.
Yeah.
She's like, I just can't hide what I'm thinking. So like if I make vomiting sounds when I read your writing.
Although Beck, don't take it personally.
They make it clear, Beck's not a very good writer at first. The only time she becomes a good writer with something to write about is when Peach dies.
Yeah.
And then she becomes this famous author based off Peach's death. But that's
because she wrote like what you wear to your best friend's funeral.
Yeah.
And also the last thing she ever wrote.
Yeah, which was like a piece of work produced in the horrific basement box while Joe was like giving her time to come around.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Wildly insane. Like his perspective was just fucked.
That's also when I was like, you are super fucking crazy. Because like you think she's going to come around and be like, thank you.
You think you'll come
back from
this.
Thank you so much for like protecting me and like blah,
blah,
blah.
This is going to be a crazy story later to tell the kids.
Yeah, like that time I locked your mom in the basement until she said
she
loved me.
Yeah, no. That's. I mean, it just becomes very clear that he's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, some people may have had it be clear earlier.
Yeah. But while she's in the basement, she writes this whole document that's like about love and like specifically like sets up her therapist to be the person that actually kidnapped
her. It's basically a biography with fictional elements added in.
And then
just,
she like shows
take it and changed Joe and it's
then
fictional
that's
story.
I don't know if she was doing it on a typewriter, but if she could have control F.
Yes.
but she then shows to Joe as the like you should trust me. And she finally does the, like, I love you thing, but for, like, not long enough to get out of the basement.
She locks him in the room.
No, she shuts him in and doesn't lock the door. Oh, she does lock
she
him.
Do, well, I think it just automatically locks
He had a key.
She stole the key and thought that was the only key, but he's just, like, he's smart in just the right ways to get himself out of hot water.
But it sucks. I'm like, man, girl, you didn't look around to see if there was any, like, hidden keys?
Yeah. I don't know, man. And, oh, yeah, I guess he hid a key in there.
Yeah, because he was like, rule number one, always leave a like, hide a fucking key. I'm like, God,
which I'm like,
damn it,
that's smart. Damn it.
But I was also like, how did Benji not find the key when he tore that place apart?
Yeah.
He was hanging from the lights and, like, ripped down everything.
He, like, ripped open all, like, apparently $10,000 worth of books looking for shit.
Yeah.
And I can't tell if he was looking for something, though, or if he was just losing his mind from being in there and hungry, because Joe straight forgot about him. It's funny because even rewatching it the second time, I don't really understand what happened. I just know that Joe left, and I thought he left for a normal amount of time. But then he's like, oh, shit, Benji. And he comes back, and you would think it's been days. Because Benji was, like, screaming.
I think it's, like,
it could have been,
anything,
like, 24
like,
hours.
Yeah, maybe 24 hours when it's nighttime, and it's like, oh, yeah, I got to take care of the, like, dude
that guy
in my basement.
Yeah.
I just think it's crazy that he didn't have a disposal plan. You have him for so long. The first thing you should be thinking of is, when he dies, how do I get him out of here? Because he's going to rot.
Also,
and then he did rot. And then the power went out.
Oh, yeah.
And the, like, six dehumidifiers he had going down there weren't working. And I was like, well, now your bookstore smells like a dead body. You're an idiot.
Mm-hmm. I also just remember the reason also why he might have been freaking out was because he was a drug addict. So
he
was probably coming down.
That was one of the first things. He was like, here's some coke.
Plus his home soda business, you know, really needed him.
Oh, yeah. And then he made him try the sodas. He's like, which one is your soda? And he couldn't figure it out.
He specifically was like, none of these are mine. They're all garbage, shitty, like, store-brand sodas. And he's like, nope, they're all your soda.
Yeah.
Your soda's garbage. I did, like, he's just such a hipster, Benji. Mm-hmm. So he was like, I'll get you your maple latte with almond milk and two stevias and also peanut oil so you die.
Benji.
He's the perfect quote from Benji to sum him up was when that first time you meet him, he has sex with Beck and he has to go for whatever reason. And he's like, looks good on you, by the way. And there's, like, a pause where you're like, what the fuck is he saying? And then he's like, the extra weight. And then he goes.
Yes, that's right. And I was like, you dick.
Everyone at home is just gasping.
And then when, like, Joe captures him, you're like, well.
And that's the thing. I didn't feel super bad about Benji.
No.
I felt bad about Peach, but I was like, you know what? He kind of had it coming.
He was such a dick while he was in captivity.
Yeah.
Like, he only got worse. Peach, I was like, you were a compelling person, at least.
Mm-hmm.
You were a female character who was, like, she just, the power that she had in that show was really impressive to me. So I was like, she's, like, a powerful female character who's, like, confident and smart and also kind of evil.
Yeah, well, she was, like, Regina George-ish.
I would say.
She was, like, the head of that little social group and, like, kept everyone on a leash.
And she just wanted Beck to be, like,
she just wanted to be her sugar mama.
Yeah.
Which, like, I wish Peach were still alive so I could be her. Like, I'll do it. I'll do whatever you want.
I know. Like, she was going to take her to Paris and they were just going to chill in Paris.
Seriously.
Well, she kept, like, semi, like, offering it to her, which is why I was like, how do you not know this woman is in love with you? Because she kept being like, Beck, you just need someone to take care of you. Let me take you to Paris.
That was the thing. I didn't realize that was happening. So I was just like, oh, man, wouldn't it just be great if they got together?
Oh, no. It was like the first episode. She, like, put her hand on Beck's hand. And I was like, she's in love with her.
I guessed it. I didn't guess that she was stalking her, but I guessed that she was in love with her.
Yeah.
I liked Peach and the fact that I think she had more power than Joe over Beck. Because she had the added,
history.
Evil abuse. Tool of being able to also pretend to be the victim.
Yeah.
Because with Joe, like, he probably couldn't do that based on what Beck seemed to like in her douchebag guys.
Yeah.
But Peach is the part where Joe is, like, winning all her attention and Peach just fakes a suicide attempt.
Yeah.
And then Beck's like, I just have to take care of her. And you can tell she's been faking suicide attempts or, like, actually maybe having suicide attempts throughout her life. So, like, she has that added role of being
like
come
fake.
Save.
Yeah.
So it's weird because Peach could be the, like, supporter and the caretaker and the, you know, money maker, but then she could also be like the please take care of me, I'm so fragile.
Yeah.
So she had all those angles and Beck's not very smart. So she
fell for. So they worked.
They worked very well.
Yeah, because I was like, because just when it happened, it was like, it was right after Peach and Beck had a fight and, like, because Joe had like shown that she like set her up with this literary agent knowing that he was going to turn her down. And like, it was like right after that. And I was like, how did you not see that this was entirely intentional? Like, mm-hmm. it was clearly intentional. It's clearly like to get you to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-mm. I just don't understand how a woman living on the first floor in New York can have no curtains. It's just, I know it's all anyone will talk about, but it's appalling to me.
Yeah.
The things that
I know
that Joe can just watch through her window.
Like, yeah. I'm surprised no neighbor has like said anything about
yeah,
it.
It's like, can you please not masturbate right in front of your window? It's kind of weird for us.
I mean, it's New York. Everyone was probably like, all right.
They're like, at least Joe,
I'm enjoying
there's like
it.
Five other guys in the bushes with Joe.
Yeah.
It was just weird. And the yeah, I can't. It's anyway, that part.
Yep.
The first. And Joe even says, like, has she never seen any horror movies or like the news? Again, dramatic
I guess
irony.
She lives in the yep. real good part of New York.
Yeah. Someone, I can't remember who, and I couldn't pinpoint the location, but mm-mm. someone specifically said Manhattan. And I was
yeah.
like, that seems right.
It was
right.
not Bed-Stuy for sure.
No. That girl was not in Brooklyn.
No.
But
no, she was
I don't
not.
Know who was paying for that apartment. It's like student
It was
housing?
Part of her student housing, which is
yeah.
crazy.
And
to
also
me.
Partly her dad, I think. Through
oh,
that
yeah,
weird, like,
because
emotional
her dad was
situation.
Like a mm-hmm. drug addict or
yeah.
a drunk. Or...
I think he's
he was
the only crappy guy that we haven't talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was like a drug addict, and then like she found him in the middle of like an OD.
Yeah.
And then like he left to go to rehab and like met his new wife and like mm-hmm. left her family
yeah.
to be with this
and
new
woman. And then had a
woman.
Completely new family.
That
yeah.
are real tools, real pieces of work.
Yeah.
Like the mom is that weird kind of like caring that shames you.
Yeah.
She's like intentionally trying to shame you.
And they're like super religious.
And the mm-hmm. daughter is, yeah, so everything is about how she's not religious enough. And like, mm-hmm. if yeah. only you'd let Jesus into your life, you'd be better.
Yeah.
And he would have gotten better sooner. That's what they kept
yeah.
saying. And
yeah.
the daughter was like a mean girl.
She, oh, yeah. She like weaponized.
She
like
was went
like,
and was like, my mom's pregnant again.
Yeah.
yeah. And you could tell she just like, she just wanted to see the pain on her face and then
yeah.
walk away.
Well, I don't think it was again. I think it was just,
or
she's
was
pregnant,
it the
but
first
it's with,
time?
But it's with her first, dad's child,
okay.
so it's like
yeah.
permanent locked in. They are officially
yeah.
forever a family,
yeah.
which I get it because Beck explains why she's so upset. She's like, I was with him through his worst. I was with him through all the relapses,
yeah.
took him to like, you know, when he's like passed out on the bathroom floor, I helped him. You didn't
mm-hmm.
have to deal with that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you believe that you're a better family member than
yeah.
I am.
And
yeah.
then the fact that the dad really didn't back her up at all was
no.
just ridiculous.
They
yeah.
showed a great spectrum of like crappy guys.
Yeah.
They did a good job of showing like, here's the broad range of abusers and predators
mm-hmm.
and like, I'm going to, this is the only time I'll ever drop Michelle Obama, but I did go to see Michelle Obama once in person, and I remember her saying that being a woman in the world is not about like every single minute guys are yelling at you that you're inferior. It's like 1,000 tiny cuts.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems they did a good job
yeah.
of showing all the different men who like kind of tear you down.
And,
and
disappointed her.
And mm-hmm. how like young men can be made into bad men.
Yeah.
And that
Paco.
Was that
Paco.
Was also like she talked about that too in her like whole essay.
Yeah, her like prison
yeah,
essay.
Talking about
yeah.
like how her dad's friend like told her like something inappropriate, like
mm-hmm.
she looked really good, and like when she told her dad, he all he did was like kind of like this accusatory look at her,
mm-hmm.
not yeah, and just all the men that let her down.
Well,
and
especially
during the years.
Her dad too, because he's like it's like a passive letdown. Like instead of like
mm-hmm.
sticking it through with his family, he just like. Went to this other woman
mm-hmm.
and her children who like he doesn't have to take care of obviously
and
it's
it
like a very
like
passive role.
They were functioning well on their own without him
mm-hmm.
and he's just like I'll just insert myself into this actual functioning family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, even though he wasn't like the worst, it was like this is definitely a different level of
yeah.
shitty.
Just
yeah.
a different kind of guy who sucks.
Yeah.
yeah.
Only one that's good is Ethan. Everybody
Ethan.
Go out and find yourself cute little Ethan.
Yes.
He may not look like much. He may hang out in bookstores all the time. And there's that one mean part where he's trying to find music for the bookstore. And Joe's like, I wonder if he's a virgin. And like sarcastically, because it's very obvious that he's a virgin. And I was like, you leave Ethan alone.
I know. Yeah. He has like all his cookbooks and stuff.
Yeah.
It's
so cute.
And also Ethan spoke up when he needed to. Because like Beck works at the bookstore for like a hot second. And he like finally takes Joe aside and is like, she can't alphabetize, like, which I was
yeah.
like, oh my
you know
god,
what?
How does she have an how is she in an MFA program?
And
nah.
then she's like taking
I mean,
the book and putting it
on
top of the
she's very very dumb. I think it's funny that you're like, she has an MFA, she must be a genius, but I'm like,
not a genius, but
MFA.
Like at least know how to like
put books in order in a bookstore.
She's a human adult.
Yeah.
She should definitely know better than that.
Yes. Mm.
I feel like just as an adult, you learn just don't touch it. Don't touch the things. They're not yours. Yeah.
Well, not everyone learns it.
No.
But
Joe didn't learn it.
Joe didn't learn it. Benji didn't learn it.
And in the end, he got away with it. I think that was the most, like, the worst part. I was just like, wow, the, like, systematic domestic abuse, like, domestic violence just...
It was very accurate. I do like, it's from the Predator's perspective, like 9 out of 10 episodes. And then I think it was the last episode or maybe the 9th episode that was entirely from Beck's perspective mostly. And that it just was a good episode because the victim side of it gets to have a voice where she's writing her like long story and telling you all the things that about womanhood.
Yeah. It was interesting.
Interested in seeing what happens in season 2. Hope he
apparently
gets caught.
Joe moves to LA.
Yeah.
So I like looked up a tiny bit of facts about season 2.
Yeah, so did I.
He moves to LA and then he meets Nell from Hill House.
So possibly Paco might come back because that's where Paco and his family moved to California. So they might meet up.
The other interesting thing about Nell's character, I was like looking up something to do with the series and like saw the article about her character, but I guess she's like super different from Beck in that she's not into social media and she thinks it's kind of like not important and she's into like living an authentic life experience or whatever. So like there will be no social media in the love to use as like that crutch.
For some reason, I don't know if it had to do with the book or anything, but I could have sworn that in the book of the second one, his next obsession, and that might be her, she's like a, what's the word? She's like she credit card fraud. She's like a con artist.
Okay.
So I think that's like maybe he like is trying to find her, and then he finds out that she's not really who she said she is.
Interesting.
I'm
excited to see what they do.
Yeah,
I'm excited to meet the character whose name is 40.
40.
Love, who Nell is playing. Mm-hmm. Her brother's name is 40. The parents named them Love and 40. Oh.
Yeah, I mean, all right. That sounds like consistent.
2019 in LA.
Yep. Really quickly, how it ends is Joe takes the thing that Beck writes, buries Beck's body in her therapist's backyard, then mails her manuscript to Blythe, who immediately turns it in for publishing.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
And it's like, and then weirdly genius.
And yeah,
but again, dumb luck.
And
Beck
then she
wrote
becomes,
the whole story.
Yeah.
And then she becomes super famous post-mortem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is like, I mean.
Which is also a comment on the show itself and like our current culture's obsession with serial killers. Because like you can kind of tell like part of the reason it's famous is because like it's published post-mortem and everyone thinks it's about her relationship with her therapist who they think killed her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they're like, wow, fascinating.
Yeah. Oh, learning so much.
Yeah. I mean, the Netflix special will be coming out on it. Any day now.
Yeah, any day now. Go with the Ted Bundy special.
Yes, that one. I'm sorry. He's not hot, you guys. He's not.
Do you guys
He's
know
a
that
goober-eyed.
There's a... I think it's actually coming on Netflix, too, but there's a Ted Bundy movie, and Zac Efron is playing Ted Bundy.
I looked it up. They're the same producer.
Yeah.
I finally looked up pictures, and I was like, they do a good job of making him crazy. Like, they add a bunch of hair in the middle, so he's got kind of the unibrow. And, like, they make his hair crazy. Like, he's a good-looking guy, but you can see how he could look like a nutcase if he just did his hair the wrong way.
Yeah.
if you did his part just to the other side.
To the other side, exactly. I love that part of the Ted Bundy documentary where they're like, he cut his hair and put his part on the other side. He looked completely different. How different did he look?
Yeah. All in all, it was a good show.
It's a good show.
It's also very interesting. It didn't get much of a view when it was on Lifetime, but it just like blew up when it got on Netflix. So the power of streaming.
Yeah. Sorry, Lifetime. Sorry, cable.
Yeah.
No one's going back.
Nope. Yeah. Not at all.
It was definitely right up my alley. That's the kind of stuff I'm weirdly into watching.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, not gonna
In
lie.
In the end, we loved it.
Yeah. 100%. What are you guys watching? What else besides Aquaman?
Nicole, don't talk about it again. I kind of feel
that's
bad
a
about it.
That's a trigger word,
I
Aquaman.
I feel so bad about how hard we shit on it, but it was so... I'm like, there are probably people who really like liked Aquaman, but
like I'm glad it did well, but
yeah. And Jason Momoa, like I hope he made some money. He's great.
I'm sure he did. He seems savvy.
But yeah, no, we won't talk about Aquaman. What I've been watching and what I've been yelling at everyone to watch, and you guys already know this is the Fyre Festival documentaries. Yes. Yeah. I guess I wasn't like I do not blame myself for not knowing what was going on. I actually consider that like a credit to me.
Yeah,
I never knew it. Never even knew it happened. But the two documentaries that came out. Yeah. The Netflix one is the one I watched first, then the Hulu one. Yeah. Did you guys watch?
I watched the Netflix one. I'm halfway through the Hulu one, and then, like, work ended, and I,
yeah,
like,
that's fair.
But I did really enjoy the Netflix one. I knew a little bit about it by, like, going on Reddit while it was happening, like, while it was going down.
Yeah.
And seeing the sandwiches, and, like, I knew Ja Rule was a part of it.
The memes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I knew it in a very light way, but, yeah, just it's very interesting of the whole social media aspect. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm like too, like, I have an Instagram, but I'm just like too old to like understand like the influencers and stuff.
Yeah, I don't have any of those on my feed.
I think it seems to me, based on who the Fyre Festival targeted, you have to be a certain person who's like got a certain amount of time and a certain amount of money.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
like those people probably don't have a lot to do besides social media if they don't have to. So I don't know. Maybe I just wasn't the right audience. Like, I'm not going to pay $10,000 to go anywhere with Kendall Jenner. Clearly, I'm not the target audience.
Yeah.
But it was just, it was very, I wasn't sure because I didn't know what it was, if I'd be interested. And then I clicked on the Netflix one and I was in. I was like, it was like watching the slowest train wreck in the world.
Oh,
and like being able to Google pictures of the train wreck on the internet at the same time, where you're like, I know it was a shit show. So just get to the part where it's bad. The Netflix documentary does a good job of like suspense. The Hulu documentary does a good job of, like, explaining all the aspects around it and also, like, it's more of a comedy. Like, they do a lot of cutscenes to movies and TV shows and stuff.
I feel like it's a little bit more, like, them, like, I don't know, comedically talking about their, like, experience. Like, it's not exactly 100% fact. It's just, like...
And lots of experts who were just there to say, like, it would never have happened. It could never have worked.
Yeah.
But I did like that they included... Because the Netflix one is made by Jerry Media, who is a part of the whole problem.
Yeah.
No matter what excuses they say, they definitely were part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hulu documentary has the guy that Jerry Media hired to do the actual social media for the event. So, like, they fired him as soon as it was done. So he's not in the Netflix documentary.
Interesting.
But he's in the Hulu documentary. And he's telling them stuff like, Pablo Escobar was an actual murderer. Like, people were sending me DMs that were like, he killed my parents. And I was like, I don't know what to do about this.
God.
So I like the documentaries because they definitely do a good job of showing all the underlying problems with, like, people and society that this happened and that it was allowed to happen.
Yeah.
It was so good. So if you want drama, watch Fyre Festival. You don't need me to tell you. Everyone's watching
Everyone's watching it. Everyone's obsessed with it.
Yeah.
Did you see that the library posted a Fyre tile?
I did. It was like, oh. By then I knew what it was, and I was like, I don't know.
Honestly, the comment section loved it. They were like, there's like so many emojis of happiness. They're like, this was hilarious.
That makes sense.
So that's me.
Yeah, what are you doing, Ashley?
I don't know. I've been, like, kind of just, like, deep into video games right now.
That's fine. What you playing?
Well, I should be playing Kingdom Hearts 3, but I'm not.
Everyone should be playing Kingdom Hearts 3.
I am currently playing a game called Stardew Valley.
Yeah.
What's that?
There go all the hours of your life.
Oh,
ask Ellie.
Oh, my gosh. It is, like, okay, so it's, like, a farming game. I don't know if you've played Harvest Moon as a kid.
Oh, maybe, I think someone might have told me about this, but yes, I have played Harvest Moon.
Yeah, it's
Please
like Harvest Moon. It's by this guy. I forget his last name, but his first name's Eric. It's very interesting because he actually made it like within 4 years was like, I think he was a movie theater usher. And it's just like someone, like, you're farming, you get your grandpa's farm, you're just basically mining and talking and building relationships with people while you farm. You get to marry them. I'm like on my way to marrying a girl named Leah, and I'm super excited.
Yeah, just keep giving her salads.
Yes. it's just really addictive and very calming and takes up like all my day. But it's a great game. And it goes really deep. Like, there's like a character that's homeless, a character that just came back from the war and has PTSD.
Character that has depression and alcoholism.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Jeez. I had to like save Shane from like jumping off of a cliff.
What?
Because he was like drunk as shit.
Yeah.
and he was like, I'm going to do it. I'm like, don't.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Life is strange all over again. Yeah,
exactly. It's like this cute 8-bit design, but then everyone has like such real adult stories.
Exactly. Like, oh, yeah. Wow. So it's a great game. Cool. Like, even just like for casual play, I think it's great
for people who don't like video games because there's no stakes, no suspense.
Yeah, you don't like really even have to kill anything. You have farm animals, but you don't butcher them or anything.
Nope.
For me,
you have to pet them every day.
Yeah, and just make sure their hay is good. And yeah, it's a really great game.
Yeah, I like Harvest Moon.
Weird things like dinosaur eggs or void eggs.
Oh yeah, I still need to get to the void eggs, but yeah, I'm on my way.
Magic. Yeah. You'll like the magic.
I liked Harvest Moon, so I can imagine liking this.
Oh yeah, you definitely like. I think it's a way more evolved Harvest Moon.
Cool. That's cool. Because I always wished like Harvest Moon had like a little bit more, just like this much more.
It's great.
So that sounds awesome, actually. Mm-hmm. I guess what I'm watching is called Kingdom. It's on Netflix. I'm obsessed with it.
I've never heard of it.
It's zombies
in South Korea.
Yeah, medieval South Korea. And it's so good. The zombies are like fast, but it's really interesting because they go for like the class class differences, and it's like super underscored by the zombies.
Yeah, it's like historically
accurate. So
interesting.
If you think about it, like, so you have fast zombies that can run at stimuli. There are no cars. There are no bikes. There's like your fastest mode of transportation is a horse, and only nobles have horses. Your weapons are like swords and like super, super rich people or like specialized military people have guns. So they're super rare. No one has guns. Only noble people have swords. So if you're a peasant.
It's super interesting because I love K-dramas. And I've like watched historical K-dramas. But the fact that there's zombies in it is just like mind-blowing to me.
And it's like beautifully. Like the like set design and costume design and like cinematography is beautiful. And it's like a super well-told story. And I'm obsessed with it.
I'll definitely check it out.
I love it. I'm probably going to end up picking it for this.
So that being said, have you ever watched Train to Busan?
No, but you're the second person to ask me about
Train
that
to
movie.
Busan is really good. I love it.
Okay.
Also, it has someone who used to be in Wonder Girls.
Yeah. There were several familiar people. There was like a couple guys I recognized from other K-dramas too.
Yeah.
That's definitely, it's sort of like this one where like I will deal with the subtitles in order to watch it. K-dramas are the only ones I do subtitles for the most part.
Yeah.
But it's so hard because I never realized how much other stuff I try to do while I watch TV.
Yeah.
And then I walk away and I'm like, oh, damn it.
I love K-dramas, but it is hard to find like a certain time, especially since they're usually like an hour long.
Yeah. I would totally be done. I have one episode left. There's only 6 episodes. I would totally be done with it if it wasn't subtitled.
Yeah.
Because
I
haven't had time to like sit and watch it.
Yeah.
My other friend asked me about Train to Busan, so now I have to watch it.
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really, go home, watch it.
Yeah, it's really good. And I think they're making an American version now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember what that guy was trying to get to, his daughter?
No, they were trying to get to Busan to try to find his ex-wife.
Okay.
Okay, interesting. I'll have to watch it. But Kingdom is really good. It has like Game of Thrones vibe too, because it's like political, like, it's about a crown prince and like there's some political elements, but you can like, it's a very straightforward story, you can understand it. You're not like, who are all these fucking people like across 10 continents?
It's gonna be interesting because usually I watch like romance ones and those like have like set in tropes.
So
this is gonna be
interesting.
The
different.
Other thing I think I love about it is there's no romance in it yet, and like the one character that tried to get this woman to like marry him because she saved his life, she's a physician, and she was just like, you look flushed, let me feel your pulse, it's rapid. How about this? I think you have gonorrhea. And then like leaves. She's like, we can get you medicine, and then like gets out.
Oh man.
So I'm very also pro like romance.
It's not what zombie movies are.
It doesn't always have to be there. And I love that it's not there.
I got pretty disappointed in The Walking Dead when it got bogged down in all the romance shit. Even like, I was like, I love Michonne, I don't need it.
Yeah.
I don't care. But yes, I will go home and
I was kind of going for Michonne and Andrea, and as soon as Andrea died,
yeah. that's all right. I mean, Van Helsing too. They were like, soon as she likes a lady, she's dead. Yeah, in comes a guy.
And that's like a trope in itself.
Yes. But yeah, I'll have to go home and watch Kingdom because they were marketing it to me pretty hard, probably because of all the murder things I
probably
watched.
Probably because I talked to you about it.
I watched The Ritual 600 times.
Oh, such a good movie. Well, not the greatest movie, but the monster design is like solid. The best.
Good monster.
Mm-hmm. Anyways.
Yes.
If you guys want to talk to us in writing, send us an email at heyfellowyouths@gmail.com.
Yeah, got any suggestions? Maybe we'll do it.
We might do it. Or
write
we might
nice
write you back.
Formal letter.
If you
No, it's fine. You can write a normal
letter. Write a nice normal email. That would be awesome. Otherwise, until next time, we'll see you later. Bye.
Bye.